Free agency is here. Day one recap here. Hopefully they're done. As long as Zach doesn't go to sleep early tonight, we should be okay. The Jets have made a day one splash, the one we kind of expected. They also made a eve of free agency splash. We'll get into that as well with Jamie and Sherwood. A lot of former Jets have found new homes, and there were also players the Jets were in on that they didn't get. Zach will share his information on that. So a lot to get to here on the pod. We probably won't go super long because we want to do these throughout the week as news hits. But the headline, Zach, we will start with is that Justin Fields is a New York Jet, 2 years, $40 million, $30 million of that guaranteed. Of course, the number 11 pick in the 2021 draft by the Bears, 3 meh years in Chicago, traded to the Steelers last year where he went 4-2 as a starter before Russell Wilson came back into the fold and replaced him once he was healthy. To Fields, is, I think, tribute to Fields, he handled that situation with a lot of class. And now he comes to the New York Jets, where we can get into the role and all of that. But I guess first I'll just open it up to you for initial reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about Fields probably since during the season as like the idea of like the if and when they moved on from Rodgers, like what kind of guy they needed. And
he manifested this into reality.
I mean, I'm not the only one, so I can't take all the credit, but I think it's the best of all the options, and there's not a lot of great options, but you're getting a high ceiling guy. And I think there's kind of low risk in a way because, sorry, I got some stuff in my teeth. it's low risk because, you know, you're not tied down to him long-term. This is a new coaching staff, new GM. So they're not on the hot seat. They don't need a win like today. So you kind of buy a lottery ticket in Justin Fields, a guy who in theory has the talent to have a Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield type resurgence. Like, he's maybe not the passer that those guys are, but the mobility makes him a real, real legit weapon that the Jets haven't had a quarterback like that before. Like, Zach Wilson had some athleticism, but not like designed runs athleticism. And nobody's had more designed run in the NFL over the last 3 years than Justin Fields. So I say it's low risk in the sense that, number one, $20 million a year, while on paper looks like a lot of money in the modern NFL for a quarterback, is not a lot. And in arguably, you could say, okay, let's get through this year. You don't like him. You're only tied to him for a more year. Let's say you get through this year and you love him and he looks like the starter, a Sam Darnold type. He leads them to the playoffs, like whatever the best case scenario is. You have him under contract for next year at a very reasonable rate. So I think it was a smart, prudent move for a team that if you didn't get Justin Fields, the options were not very good. Like, that the fallback plans were, you know, Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota were guys that Connor Hughes reported initially. Kirk Cousins, if he had became available, maybe. Or like, you have to trade up in this rookie class or settle for Shador Sanders or overdraft Jackson Dart. None of those are appealing for a team that doesn't really have much hope at quarterback right now. So Fields is an exciting guy who, you know, to your point, it's been very up and down in his career, but I think one thing that's been consistent throughout it is his teammates have always loved him. Like, if you remember Chicago, they did not want to get rid of him. I think the fan base loved him, even as he was struggling to throw the ball a little bit, completing like 60% of his passes. They loved him. In Pittsburgh, there was a lot of rumblings, both internal and public and private, that Fields was like the preferred quarterback between him and Russell Wilson. And Mike Tomlin kind of went against what other people wanted a little bit and went with Russell Wilson. And it worked out to a degree. They made the playoffs. But point being, like, there's something to be said about just everywhere he's gone, everybody seems to gravitate towards him. And I think he's the most exciting option in terms of just someone who covers this team. Like, covering Justin Fields every week, like, sure, maybe week to week, you don't know what you're going to get as of right now. And we'll get into like all the specifics and the scheme and how he fits and what the offense is going to look like and all that kind of stuff. But like, just in terms of the fans and the media, it's way better that we're getting Justin Fields than like Carson Wentz or Marcus Mariota. Maybe a rookie could have been fun depending on who it was. But ultimately, the Jets prioritized Justin Fields from the beginning. I'd heard that. I've been reporting the last few days that they really felt like they had a shot. It felt like more like 50-50 on Sunday. The impression I got was that the Steelers kind of wanted him to sign before free agency. Like, they wanted him to commit to them, whereas he wanted to explore free agency, hear his options out. And, you know, I think it's fair to wonder if he was, you know, a little burnt by the fact that, number one, they benched him when he was playing relatively well, and that they were pretty openly pursuing other guys. There was rumblings about Sam Darnold. He signed with the Seahawks. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the next Steelers quarterback. I'm not the only one to say that, crazy. But it feels like it's heading that we're swapping them out, which we can get into. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I think this is something that fans should be excited about. Like, this is the best option available. He could be really good. Maybe he doesn't work out, but you're taking a swing without tying yourself down. Like, it's not like a Zach Wilson situation where you drafted him and you feel like you have to keep trotting him out there because you drafted him second overall. No, you have Tyrod Taylor as a backup. If Field is bad this year, you can either bench him or think about the future next year. You could still draft somebody now. You don't feel pressure to in the first round. Like, so I just think that, like, all in all, good locker room guy. I don't think anybody's going to complain about Justin Fields as a human. The athleticism, he's going to be fun to watch. Their running game is going to improve. Like, no matter what you feel about Breece Hall or the running game from last year or the run blocking, like, it's going to get better just by his pure presence being on there, because now the defense has to account for him in a way that they haven't had to account for any of these other quarterbacks on the Jets. So that's going to open up lanes for Breece Hall. It's going to make blocking a little easier up front. You know, the passing is obviously something to discuss, but this is a good move for the Jets, and I think they're on the right track in terms of just making the right moves.
You look at the numbers from last year, and they were better than his time in Chicago in the six games. 65.8 completion percentage, that's career best. 93.3 quarterback rating, career best. He had 1,100 yards passing in six games, which isn't lighting the world on fire. It's less than 200 yards a game. Yeah. Five touchdowns to an interception in the air, five more touchdowns on the ground, and he ran for 280 yards, which you got into. So, yeah, let's touch on the offense, because this offense, through multiple coordinators and multiple quarterbacks in recent years, has, and we've said, it lacked creativity, right? Yeah. We thought we were going to get creativity with the beginning of the Zach Wilson era, with LaFleur taking over. It just never really materialized, maybe partially because Zach Wilson wasn't the quarterback to be able to do it. But then we get Aaron Rodgers for, you know, a year, and you get his offense, which, right, is at this point, you could say, feels dated in the NFL. So now you have a quarterback that can do a lot of things, and you have an offensive coordinator that, as a play caller, we know nothing about. So what do you expect, Zach?
I mean, everybody I've talked to has raved about Tanner Engstrand and his creativity and how much of a part of the game planning and the creativity that Ben Johnson showed in Detroit. So, you know, that was one of my big takeaways coming out of Indy, was that people are very, very high on Tanner Engstrand. And so I think what you're going to see is an offense that, you know, I was pulling up some stats right before we got on the pod. Over the last 3 years, Justin Fields is 11th in deep ball percentage, like the percentage of his throws going deep, which Aaron Rodgers was not really willing to do last year. He had a higher design rush rate than any other quarterback in the NFL over the last 3 years, and he had the highest rate of play action over the last 3 years. And so this wasn't an offense that was doing a whole lot of play action last year and the year before. This is an offense, I think, will that they did a lot in Detroit, I believe, with Jared Goff, kind of like, you know, it's just a way of helping set the table, especially if you have a quarterback that maybe isn't able to, you know, diagnose things in the way that somebody like Aaron Rodgers is pre-snap and all that stuff. It just gives you a little more time. And if the blocking is good up front, which I think it will be, which is a factor here. But you have a quarterback, number one, who's willing to take shots downfield, and you have a quarterback who can run. Like, obviously there's a lot that needs to be worked on in terms of the passing, the intermediate areas, the accuracy, all that stuff. But I believe in Tanner Engstrand. I mean, who knows? But I believe in his ability to scheme up things, create in a creative way. I think they're going to be a real run-heavy team. I'm curious to see what they think of, like, the Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis trio. Like, do they feel like, okay, those three guys are good enough, we can lean on them and Justin Fields and be one of the best running teams in the NFL? When the Jets were 32nd in most rushing categories last year, like, literally last, and they have the talent to be much, much better than that. So, I mean, the expectation to me is that this is going to be a top 10 rushing offense. Like, it would be disappointing if it wasn't. And the passing game, he has a connection with Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson is very happy, from what I understand. I talked to some people. I think a lot of guys in this team wanted Justin Fields as their quarterback that are still on the team. Not that that necessarily matters all that much ultimately, but, you know, he has the chemistry with Garrett. Garrett's happy that he's coming. You don't have to deal with the personality clash there. They still need to fill out the receiver room. We're going to get into, like, some guys that they've missed out on and, you know, what they might do there. But I feel like this is going to be a team that, you know, the way the Steelers ran it with Arthur Smith is they tried to minimize the risks as much as possible with Fields. Maybe they do that with the Jets too, but I do think they just lean on the running ability at, like, a significant amount. And that's kind of going to be the way to go. I think this is a, They have talent on offense. They have Breece Hall. They have Garrett Wilson. They have four fifths of a really good offensive line in my mind. Fill out a couple of the holes with, you don't need necessarily to blow the top off with wide receiver and spend a lot of money. Get solid number two, get a solid number three in the draft and free agency. Fill out the tight end, whether it's Conklin or somebody else, and just kind of just really like run the ball down everybody's throat. They got away from the run way too often with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that'll be a problem anymore.
It is interesting that the Pittsburgh Steelers, it appears, and we don't know if this is actually going to pan out or not, but if they do end up getting Aaron Rodgers, that they basically said, we will take Aaron Rodgers and everything that comes with that. But I guess if you haven't experienced everything that comes with that, you don't necessarily fully grasp it. They would take that over Justin Fields for less money, younger quarterback, all that stuff. It is interesting to me.
The Rodgers Field swap, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, from a Pittsburgh perspective, when I think of Pittsburgh and like the tradition, Mike Tomlin, like the steadiness of the organization, to me, Aaron Rodgers just makes no sense there.
I'd say I agree with you, but number one, everybody keeps saying that Tomlin and Rodgers love each other. Who knows if that's true, but Tomlin, if there's any coach that's able to overcome like all the nonsense, it is Mike Tomlin, number two. And then I'd say number three is that the Steelers are desperate. Like, I don't know how much, you know, Mike Tomlin's been going a long time. There's a lot of pressure on him to win. They've really just kind of gotten by with all these mediocre quarterbacks the last few years, and they still make the playoffs. I don't think Rodgers is what he once was. I mean, we've talked about it at length. We don't really need to get into a lot of Aaron Rodgers here, but he's probably better than what they had. At least you can argue him or Russell Wilson. He's probably better than Russ. Russ can at least move though, and he throws it down the field. He's better than Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett and the guys they have before that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think the most fascinating part to me, if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, is how he's going to handle, especially George Pickens, but George Pickens and DK Metcalf, like guys who are very mercurial, and you know, Rodgers is very particular in what he wants from his receivers. So it's going to be fascinating. I'm curious to see if his old buddy Alan Lazard follows him there to fill out.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
But yeah, so it is the Fields and Rodgers swap. Like there's a portion of the Jets fan base that wishes the Jets did not get rid of Rodgers and did not want Fields. Yeah. The fact that they're swapping them out, a lot of those fans are going to compare the two. I think that's ill-advised. I don't think the situations are one-to-one. I don't think the Steelers are going to go far with Rodgers. They're probably a playoff team with him, but I don't see them going very far with him personally. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think Aaron Rodgers should be out of sight, out of mind at this point, frankly, for all of our health. But it's going to be fascinating. I mean, the Steelers let him leave and they replaced him with the guy that he's replacing, which is, you know, if it's anything like the Bryce Huff, Hassan Reddick situation last year, that won't work out very well. But the Jets are hoping that it'll be a little better, and I think it will be. I'm cautiously optimistic about Justin Fields, personally.
All right, let's switch over to the other side of the ball, where the Jets made a key signing, but not a new player. They came in on Sunday on the eve of free agency, and Jamie Sherwood is back. 3 years, $45 million. The 25-year-old obviously has kind of gone from – this isn't a guy that was a high draft pick, and he's turned himself into a starting – linebacker on what was a very good Jets defense 2 years ago. Makes a lot of sense. He's comfortable here. And I think this is it's one less thing the Jets have to worry about replacing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of money for a off-ball linebacker in the modern NFL. Like, there's no doubt about that. And I think there's some other factors that we can talk about in terms of like Quincy and CJ Mosley and stuff like that. But in terms of Sherwood, you know, it is crazy just to think about like a year ago, how we would have been talking about Sherwood, which is like, oh, he's like a young guy. He's shown some flashes. He's a depth piece. He's a backup. He goes into the season. The plan is for him to be the backup, as far as I know. I mean, maybe he would have overtaken CJ eventually, but CJ doesn't play basically. I mean, he played in four games, and I don't even know if he finished all of them. So Sherwood started 16 of 17 games, was like fourth in the NFL in tackles. He was one of the better run stoppers in the NFL in terms of like run game tackles. I don't think he's a perfect player, but he's decent in coverage, former safety. He's very athletic. He's beloved in the building, and he was the team MVP. Like, this is a guy that we thought was going to be a backup, and now he's one of the five highest paid linebackers in the NFL. Like, he's making $15 million a year. I forget what was a $45 million contract, $30 million of a guarantee.
$30 million guarantee.
It felt like his market was going up as you started seeing some of these linebacker contracts that were getting handed out. I think Nick Bolton was the final one where he like matched up almost identically with Nick Bolton's contract with Kansas City. Look, the Jets had a history of letting these guys leave the building or not having guys good enough to re-sign to a second multi-year contract. They've done it now with Quinnen Williams, Michael Carter II, and Jamien Sherwood. All three of them deserved it. And Sherwood's personality wise, great fit for this team. Someone you want to build around clearly. I think this is the most important part. The fact that Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn wanted to pay this much money to him means that they valued him and they view him as someone who has ascending potential. Like he came into the NFL as a safety and he's basically still learning the linebacker position. If you think about it. So there's room for him to grow, room for him to get better. And so that's the kind of guy that you tie yourself to. And it's one of those 3-year deals where they can get out of it after 2 years, probably if they needed to. But yeah, you know, good for him. It's cool for him. But as I mentioned, how this impacts Quincy Williams, like that's been the forefront of my mind ever since I heard that they were really trying to re-sign Sherwood. Because if you look at the contract Quincy signed in 2023, which is not long ago, it was 3 years for $18 million. Sherwood's basically making that per year now. And Quincy made an All-Pro that year. I think he had a down year this last year. I don't think he was as good as maybe the hype was, but I imagine he wants a pay raise. I wonder if the Jets are going to be willing to give that to him, and if not, what that looks like. And then with Mosley, I mean, it felt like he was on the way out. The contract, they don't really save much by getting rid of him anyway, so if he doesn't retire, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back personally, but if not, he's probably on the way out, and they found a replacement in Sherwood, and they probably need some depth at linebacker. But yeah, it's good money for a good kid, young, and these are the kind of players they should be building around. Even Fields, like I've always said, especially teams that are not like in win now mode, you should be attacking free agency at this level. The 25-year-old guy who has room to grow, where the contract might look good in a couple of years, or you will say, oh, well, we didn't pay him that much anyway, so it's not a huge deal. They're paying both of them decent amount of money, but not like so much that I think you look back and you kill them for it if, like, you know, Fields doesn't work out, or if Sherwood takes a step back or something like that. I think ultimately both were prudent moves, and that's kind of where I would be shopping in free agency if I was them. And just the younger guys that aren't stars necessarily, and usually stars don't hit free agency anyway, investing in them and hoping they get better with your coaching and whatnot.
All right, let's talk about some guys that the Jets were in on but did not end up getting. A big one, because they do need a cornerback now that DJ Reed has signed with the Lions, and we'll get to where other Jets have gone. DJ Reed to the Lions. They were outbid by the Patriots for Carlton Davis, arguably the best cornerback on the market. So at least there was a thought process for the Jets that, like, hey, we're going to lose DJ Reed, let's get somebody better. But obviously they didn't want to go to $20 million a year, which is, I think, where he ended up, right?
Yeah. He was $20 million, and Mike Silver spoke to him before free agency, and it sounded like the Patriots and Jets were two teams that were going to be interested in him. And the Patriots had a lot of money to burn. Like, they've spent a lot.
They burnt most of it today.
My God, man, $26 million a year on Milton Williams is just bonkers to me. But they signed Morgan Moses also, which is a big loss.
24 to Morgan Moses.
We can get into Moses in a second. But Carlton Davis, once he said to Mike Silver that he wanted to get paid like a top 10 to 15 corner, I just didn't see it. I don't see the Jets spending that at corner. I think if they're going to spend a lot on a non-quarterback, safety is kind of where my head's at. Maybe defensive tackle, but more likely safety. So curious to see what happened there. But yeah, I just didn't see the Carlton Davis one happening. I think the receiver that they missed out on is Josh Palmer, who had been reporting that they had interest in. He got a pretty good contract from the Bills, which, you know, it's always funny to me when Jets fans like have their eyes on somebody and they sign with a rival, so now they hate their guts. It was like Mike Vrabel was kind of like that, where he got hired by the Patriots and now they all hate him and they never wanted him anyway. Josh Palmer.
Morgan Moses? Are we going to turn on Morgan Moses?
Everybody loves Morgan Moses around here, but he is a Patriot now, so that's tough. He signed a 3-year deal.
Just 3 years for Morgan Moses, by the way.
So I'd say I wouldn't know if I would have given him a 3-year deal. Like, good for Morgan. Great locker room guy. Beloved. To me, he was more of a stopgap, and I thought the Jets should have tried to keep him, but I don't think they were going to go 3 years, and so you don't blame him for taking that. There was interest in bringing him back, but it sounded like for a couple weeks he wasn't coming back, I would say. And now they need a full right tackle. A guy that I kept hearing that they were interested in was Matt Parrott from the Broncos. He re-signed with the Broncos for a 1-year deal worth like up to $10 million, which isn't bad. So I don't know what their plan is there. Maybe they plan on drafting one, or there's somebody in free agency they still have their eye on. Or, you know, a wild card would be moving AVT to right tackle. I don't think that'll happen, but that's like always an option. And then you go and get a guard somewhere. But right tackle's a hole. But the fact that you have 4/5 of your offensive line already solved makes it a little bit less concerning. Like I had a scout tell me a couple years ago, he's like, as long as you have like 3 or 4 like pretty good offensive linemen, like you can have a few holes where you kind of mix and match guys or figure it out. They have 4 guys that I feel pretty good about. I think Olufoshinu is going to be very good. John Simpson had a great year. I would honestly extend John Simpson if I was them, frankly. Joe Tippmann and AVT going into the last year of his deal. Those are like 4 solid offensive line. Maybe none of them are stars, but those are like solid players. And they have the experience of having played together. Like, when was the last time the Jets went back-to-back years with like the same offensive line? Like, that hasn't happened forever, so.
All right, some other, where did they go? We mentioned Moses and DJ Reed. Hassan Reddick has a new home. He's Tampa Bay Buck, one year, $14 million.
Not only a new home, but he was the first signing at noon. Like, that was the first one. So the Bucks like really wanted him. Like, ultimately, the money is like whatever. It's, you know, yeah. He's a guy that you're paying for.
Lost so much money in the last
year. I mean, this is what he was basically going to make last year. But you're essentially paying him to try and get the production that he had a couple years ago. There was no evidence that was still in his body last year. He was out of football shape. He held out all year. How many guys historically come out of a holdout and look as good as they did before the holdout? I don't think that happens very often, especially like long holdouts like that. And I just don't believe in his ability to be a good teammate and fit into a culture and all that stuff. Maybe Todd Bowles will figure out how to use him. Whatever, $14 million. I think the bigger shocker to me, and I've seen some people talking about it in the chat, was Javon Kinlaw. Well, yeah, I'm blanking on what the number one 40. I think it was $40 million or more for 3 years with the Commanders. Like, what are we like? Adam Peters must really like him from San Francisco, because if you remember, like, we were flabbergasted and the fans were pissed that they signed him to $7 million last year. The Jets, he did not have a good year. I thought he was a turnstile to a degree. Like, he had his moments, but I did not think he was very good, and the Commanders just gave him money to indicate that like he's a bona fide, really good starting defensive tackle who they're replacing Jonathan Allen with, who I think Jonathan Allen is a lot better than Javon Kinlaw. That was 3 years, 45.
Yeah, 3 and 45, by the way, 30 guaranteed. Yeah. So he got just the same money as Sherwood.
Same deal as Sherwood, which is like, I could not believe what I was seeing. Like, I did not expect him to get the biggest contract out of the guys going elsewhere, at least the initial wave. I mean, DJ Reed got a lot of money too. And good for DJ, like, great locker room guy. I know he caught a lot of flack from some of the fan base because of the way he was talking about openly about free agency, but I mean, the Jets were a freaking disaster last season. Like, I don't blame him for that, frankly. And ultimately, he was one of the better free agent signings in team history. So he had a really good Jets career. Now he's going to a Lions team that is a Super Bowl contender. So, good for him. Yeah, I think that was all the Jets guys that signed elsewhere, right?
That is it. So as we head out of day one, I guess, I'm just looking at the chat a little bit for some questions. Receiver still a thing. David Vail's asking if there's any more rumors around Tim Patrick, who you've talked a lot about.
Yeah. I still think he's someone they'll sign. I think apparently there are a couple teams that are interested in him. Diami Brown is somebody that signed. I just saw he signed with somebody. I'm blanking on what team now, if somebody in the chat knows. He was somebody I was interested in. He only signed for 1 year, $10 million. He went elsewhere. Josh Palmer went elsewhere. But I think Patrick will be a Jet ultimately. They still need at least 1 to 2 other receivers. Oh, Jaguars for Diami Brown. The Jets need more. Like, Tim Patrick is not enough. He's a number 3 or number 4 receiver. Malachi Corley is actually interesting in an offense with Justin Fields if they can figure out how to use him right. But I don't think you can go into the offseason saying Malachi Corley is one of our surefire top 4 receivers. Don't feel good about Xavier Gibson being one of those guys either. So sign Tim Patrick, sign another veteran, and draft somebody highly. That's what they need to do.
All right. Any closing notes before we say goodbye?
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Jets are done. I know that everybody gets impatient when Jets GMs don't make signings right away. I think they were pretty clearly very focused on Justin Fields to start free agency, and they re-signed Jamie Sherwood. Tyler Conklin, somebody who there's mutual interest in him coming back, but he has interest from like 5 other teams. I think he's going to get decent money because a lot of the tight ends re-signed, and so the Jets have a real hole at tight end.
And I have no idea who it's going to be if it's not Conklin right now. Juwan Johnson's a name that's been thrown around. I feel like he's going to sign somewhere else is my feeling. But yeah, there was just a blockbuster trade. Laremy Tunsil was traded to the Commanders, which is pretty crazy because he's pretty good. I know he had a lot of penalties for the Texans, but it's been a pretty crazy 24 hours, I would say.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff happened.
I don't remember a free agency eve ever being as busy like, as
Devontae
last
Adams,
night with Josh Allen and Miles Garrett and DK and Metcalf Devontae. And Devontae. Oh yeah, we didn't even mention Devontae. He's headed to the Rams.
Yeah.
Not the Steelers.
He wanted to be on the West Coast by the sounds of it. I don't think Rodgers was actually a priority for him. I had heard the Chargers were interested too, but Rams make a lot of sense. It's a great spot for him. I'm fascinated to see where Cooper Kupp lands. He's not somebody I would go after if I was the Jets, but so I think that's, unless there's any other questions in the chat worth answering. I think that covers everything right now. If the Jets make any other major signings in the near future, we'll do another pod. Maybe hopefully we'll be able to do one tomorrow. Hopefully they have at least somebody that they sign in the morning or something like that. But so Jets have a new quarterback. Exciting. I'm curious. I haven't had a chance to honestly look on Twitter for the reaction. I think it's mostly positive. There are some that aren't. I think the chat and the Discord have been the Badlands Discord. If you're not a part of it, you should be. Have all been great. But yeah, I'm sure we'll be coming back to you guys pretty soon is my guess.
All right. That's going to do it for this one. We will be back when news breaks here as we cover free agency all week long here on the Flight Plan Podcast.